Knowing that I don't have too much time tonight, I guess I'll go ahead and get to the heart of the issue, which is exactly what I want to be talking about tonight. I want to be talking about the heart. And when I say heart, I don't mean the organ, of course. I mean that sort of abstract thing that's sort of hard to define, that's difficult to define for us sometimes. But if we're using Vine's Expository Dictionary or Zondervan's Illustrated Bible Dictionary, I think we're going to be okay. When we're talking about the heart, they say that it stands for man's entire mental and moral activity, both rational and emotional elements, the fountain of thoughts, passions, desires, affections, appetites, purposes, and endeavors. It is the center of all physical and spiritual life. And I'll go ahead and I'll add what Proverbs 27 verse 19 says, where it says, as water reflects the face, so the heart reflects the man. And that's what the heart is. The heart reflects that which is within. But it not only does that, but it encompasses all of our passions, our desires, our affections, our purposes, and etc. That's what the heart is. And it's clear to us that the heart plays a huge role in our lives spiritually and physically. But not only that, the heart plays a huge role back in the Old Testament, especially when it comes to building a dwelling place for God. And in fact, it was because of the heart that the sanctuary had everything that it needed to be built, and then some. And it was because of the heart that the temple was built. And we're going to look at that. So if we're thinking about the sanctuary over there that's mentioned in Exodus 25, and then the building starts happening in Exodus 35, we look at Exodus 25 in these first couple verses here where the Lord says to Moses, speak to the people of Israel that they take for me a contribution from every man whose heart moves him, you shall receive the contribution for me. And when we skip down to verse 8, we see that it says, and let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst. Automatically, the heart has something to do with the dwelling place of God. And when we turn to Exodus 35, we're not going to turn there or read all of those verses. But when you go to Exodus 35, I want you to notice all the little things where it says, whose heart stirred him, both men and women, all who were of a willing heart, or the people of Israel whose heart moved them. And so we see that the heart plays a crucial role in bringing about the dwelling place of God. So it's not only dealing with our passions and our desires, but it has a direct relationship and the dwelling place of God. And we also recognize that when we talk about the temple as well. And the temple, you remember why the temple was built, is because a man who was after God's own heart says, well, I'm looking at the tabernacle, I'm looking at that house, and I'm saying that that's not good enough. How is it that I'm living in my great house, and yet the house of the Lord is being torn down? It's nothing in comparison, is what he was saying. So he says to his son, my son, I had it in my heart to build a house to the name of the Lord. That's 1 Chronicles 22, verse 7. In his heart, he says, I planted within my heart to build a house for the Lord. And there we see that the temple and the heart have a direct relationship with the dwelling place of God, because that's exactly what both of those things are. And it's when we move to the New Testament writings that we find more evidence that the temple is a representation of our hearts. Thus, God dwells within us. And I tell you, that right there is enough to fill us up with joy and awe and wonder. God dwells within our hearts. Now that's an amazing thing to think about. But really, I say all of that to say this, that the heart isn't without its problems. The heart isn't without its issues. And there is something that we need to be wary of when it comes to the protection of the heart. And in fact, it's something that Jesus deals with twice during his ministry. He deals with it at the beginning of his ministry, and then again towards the end of it after the triumphal entry. You know what that is? I'm talking about when Jesus drives out the money changers from the temple. And we have two instances of when this happens. First, we have it recorded for us in John chapter 2. But I want to focus in on what's said for us here in Matthew chapter 21, where it says, "And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, 'It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers.'" And some other translations might say a den of thieves. It's the same thing. So that's what we need to be wary of. That's the problem. That's the issue that the heart has. It's that temptation. There's a possibility that our hearts can become this den of thieves. Instead of it being what it needs to be for God, we invite all of these thieves in, these robbers into our hearts. But I got to ask you, well, who in the world is willing to welcome a robber into their home? Now, what if I said to you, okay, now, well, what if a robber comes to you and says, all right, so I'm planning to be at your house around 3 o'clock tomorrow. You're going to be at work, right? So make sure your kids aren't home. Make sure the dog's put away. Go ahead and unlock the doors. Just lay out all your money. Are we going to do something like that? Of course not. That's crazy talk, right? Why in the world are we going to willingly let robbers come into our home and take that which is valuable? Take that which belongs to us? That makes no sense. And yet we seem to do that quite often when it comes to our hearts, when it comes to the true dwelling place of God. But you see, thieves take without care. And there is a reason that they're called thieves, right? A thief is called a thief. Why? Not just because they're taking things, but because they're taking things that don't belong to them. And it's in that we need to understand something. If here Jesus says, you're making it a den of robbers, a den of thieves, you have all of these people coming in here and taking things that don't belong to them. And so in regards to our hearts, if it doesn't belong to these thieves, then whom does it belong to? And where should it go? And that obvious answer is God, of course. That's where our heart belongs. It belongs with God. But then we ask, well, what exactly are they taking? Well, it's all of those passions, those desires, those affections, those appetites, those purposes, those endeavors. It's pretty much a den of thieves. Once we take up all of our time and our devotion and we turn it to these things that don't matter, we turn it to these things that are temporal, that's when our heart becomes a den of thieves. Of course, as John mentioned in the prayer as before I got up here, that's exactly what it is. And so we pray to God that he guard our hearts from those things. And we understand that that is a huge problem. But another question is why? Why in the world is it possible for my heart to become a den of thieves in the first place? That's what I want to know. Why does this happen? And why does it so easily happen? And maybe it happens when I'm not even noticing, when you're not even noticing. And then next thing you know, you find all of your time and your devotion to all of these other things. And you're going this way, you're going that way, you want to do this, you want to do that. All of these things that have nothing to do with God. All of these things that are temporary and mean nothing. So why does this happen? Why is this possible? Well, I tell you that the first reason is given in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, where it says, "The heart is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" You see, the heart is desperately sick. And being desperately sick, that means it's desperately trying to find something to make it well. And in its endeavors, in its purposes to do that, it's going to fill it up with anything that it thinks, hey, this might work for a while. This might be okay for a little bit. But we understand that those things aren't going to last. And yet those things are still attractive to us. But if we're not careful, that's exactly how our hearts become a den of thieves. When we realize this, that our heart is sick, it's constantly trying to find something to make it better. But we need to be pointing our purposes, our endeavors, our desires to God. But it's not only that. It's also what is said in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, where he says, "God has set eternity in man's heart." This is how you know the heart belongs to God. It says God has set eternity in man's heart. There is only one that is eternal. And who is that? Well, that's God. Therefore, our hearts belong to Him. Therefore, if we want our hearts to be filled up, if we want our hearts to be satisfied in some way, we have to turn to God. He's put it in our hearts for us to do that. He's put eternity in our hearts. We will never be satisfied while we are here on this earth. And it's only when we turn to God will we truly be satisfied. That's why our hearts become a den of thieves. As when we look out here in this world and we think, man, that looks a little bit more attractive than this seat I've placed here for God. That looks a little bit more better. I know it's not going to last, but let me tell you, I just want to have a little bit more fun. But that's not how it works. That's not what we're supposed to do. So what's the solution? Well, the solution to this was revealed to us with the problem. You see, Jesus says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. My Father's house is a house of prayer. If you want to know how you don't make your heart a den of thieves, this is how it's done. We begin by praying. A house of prayer, a house of constant communication between God and men. That means that our desires are for God and that nothing should get in our way of striving to do things for God or giving Him all of our attention and devotion. And why is that? Because it doesn't belong to anyone else. Remember that robber that's taking things that doesn't belong to them? Well, it's taking the things of God. It doesn't belong to them. It doesn't belong to anything else but God. And so that's how we guard our hearts against these things. That's how we know our hearts aren't becoming a den of thieves. It doesn't belong to anyone else. And so we pray. We pray to God that He guard us in that. And it's not only in prayer that we are to be communicating with God, but also in how we keep to His word. Because it is the person who demonstrates their devotion and desire for God that God will make a home with that person. It's that person. So we understand it's not just enough for us to pray. It's not just enough for us to read this and say, man, I'm glad that I know this. It's when we're putting it into action that we're making sure our hearts aren't becoming a den of thieves. Because we don't have time for all these other things. We're not going to give any more devotion to any of these other things. It's only focused in on God. And that's how we know. And that's how we begin. And so our hearts belong to Him. And thus we can echo the words of Paul when he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. You know, in light of that, I like what Moses has to say to the people when he's warning them not to look grudgingly on a poor brother once the time of Jubilee comes. And what he says to them in Deuteronomy 15, verse 9, he says, take care lest there be an unworthy thought in your heart. An unworthy thought in your heart. You see, there are many times when we say things like, man, I really shouldn't have said that. Or man, that was a really bad thought. But how many times do we consider, man, these bad thoughts, these thoughts I shouldn't be thinking about are unworthy to be there. That's something new. It speaks of our hearts as if it's some sort of sacred place. Unworthy things don't belong there. Only the things that are of worth belong there. And if something unworthy doesn't belong there, we can only then conclude that our hearts should be filled with that which is worthy. And that which is worthy was those things listed for us in Philippians 4. Whatever is honorable, whatever is true, whatever is just. All of those things, whatever is commendable, those are the things that we need to be filling our hearts with. Those are the things that we need to be thinking about and devoting our time and our prayers about those things. and so that our heart does not become a den of thieves. And with that, we see the application of the greatest command, where Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. The heart is sacred to God. It is His place of manifestation. It is His home with us. And as Judas, not Iscariot, said to Him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And so that is the question that I leave before you tonight. Have you made your heart a dwelling place, a home for God? Or has it become, or does it remain, a den of thieves? That is the question I leave before you to challenge yourself upon and to answer honestly. Is there anything within your life that you think you're spending a lot more time with, or you're devoting all of these things to, your desires, your passions, your wants, instead of God? Well, there's that warning. And I pray to God that He would do what He did to the temple. I pray that Jesus would do that to my heart every single day, because it's a problem. It's a struggle. It's a huge temptation for us all. But if we will let Him in, we will never have to deal with robbers again.